Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Good to have you in service with us today. Question today is, why are you here? That's the first question. That's not my sermon, but it's a question. And I think it's a fair question. People come for different reasons. Some people come to praise the Lord. Some people to love on the Lord. Before I get into my message today, I want to tell you a little story. I've told this story before, but I was in a parish, a pastor and their parishioners, small town. It's a real life story, actually. And they had kind of a chapel. The chapel was there and left open all the time for people to come on in and pray anytime they wanted. The pastor had a house next to the chapel. And most of the time he would be in there, if he saw someone that was really distressed or praying, he would go out there and pray with them and so forth. But the place was left open all the time. And then one day, there was this little girl. She was about, 5 or 6 years old. Story went. She came in that place that day. It was like an afternoon or something. And so the man saw her and went over to her and say, what aileth thee, daughter? It's like, because the people that came in there, they always came in there when they had some grief. And they came in there when they had some trouble, some burden on their heart. And so, the man will see them, will go around there, pray them. So he went to the little girl as well. And said, what can I pray with you today? Thinking in his mind, just like everybody else, that have been coming, most of the time the adults and stuff, that she had a burden, she had something on her mind that she wanted to pray about. And she said, no, I just come to love on Jesus a little. Amen. I just come to love on the Lord a little. And the man was amazed. You come to do what? I just come to love on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let us pray. I hope you come to love on the Lord a little today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. And it also gives understanding. And I pray that that light will shine in our hearts this morning. Amen. And bring understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, and I want to quote it. One time Jesus went, to the synagogue, as his manner was, on a Sabbath day. And they gave him the scrolls to read. Got the scrolls of Isaiah, and he found a place where it was written, and he quoted it. And after he finished quoting it, he said something, quoted some of it. And I want to quote some of it today. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Well, I'm not saying what Jesus said today. I'm saying what the scripture says about me or you. And you can quote the same thing. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the Lord says that God has anointed us to preach the gospel. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And how did the Father send him? Well, in the book of Acts chapter 10 and 38, the Bible says that Christ went about doing good, being filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And relieving all those who are oppressed because God was with him. Today, the Lord has given me, the Holy Spirit has given me the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And I want to give you, I want to present to you a menu of sorts. Menu. So, the first thing to bear in mind before I come to the menu is that I'm going to give you three or four keywords today that we're going to use. The title of today's message is Joy, Gladness, Increase, and Fulfillment. That's the message of today. Joy and gladness, increase and fulfillment. These are the things that I'm seeing and hearing for the Lord for you
in this year. Amen.
Well, let's we'll present it to you from the scriptures. You know, why are we talking about a menu? Well, you know, one time, there's different times that the Lord would show a prophet something. One time, the book of Amos, chapter 8, the Lord showed the prophet something. Now, in that case, it wasn't good. But nonetheless, you know, it was something. He saw a basket of summer fruit. You know, the Lord also showed me something. And, you know, there is a basket of various things. There are these four things in the basket. There is joy. There is gladness. Amen. There is increase. Amen. And there is fulfillment. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, present it as a menu. And let them come and take whatever they want. Now, so let me give you some scriptures just in case you think that this is just a nice story. I like telling stories. Well, Bible stories nonetheless. So let's look at some of these scriptures that support what we are saying here. You know, and as I read the scriptures, if anything resonates with you, well, take it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you don't take it, well, because the Lord put that basket there. You know, I put it there, waiting for people to take it. And after a while, it was withdrawn. Because people were not taking it. You know, so, now, be careful now. Because the Lord is presenting something before you that you should take. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the book of Jeremiah, I want to give you some of these promises now. That are packaged. They're little, like little packages. Another time it was like, you know, I love these parables of the kingdom, right? And so the Lord, He gives me parables of the kingdom. Not necessarily the ones that are in the Bible, but just parables. And tell me things, you know, by things. You know, so it's like, you know, these packages are just falling down from heaven, you know. And you just, you know, people can, I mean, can you get there and grab it, looking, you know, see if people grab it. And then when you grab it and open it up, I mean, you don't know what's in there, but it's packaged. You know it's something good because, you know, it's wrapped, it looks nice, but you got to open it up, see what the Lord is saying. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, let's read verses 19 to 22. They put that up for me, I'll read it quickly. This is what the Lord is saying. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that shall make merry. This is what God is saying. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Hallelujah. Now this is a promise. It's at the individual level, it's at the congregational level, and so forth. So, you know, family level and all of that. You take it any which way you want. Their children also shall be as aforetime. And their congregation shall be established before me.
Amen.
And I will punish all that oppress them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wait, so it's not over yet. Let's keep reading. Let's read some more. You know, give me the next verse. And their nobles shall be of themselves. I'm going to explain this for you now in a minute. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Now, cousin to draw near. Now, the Lord doesn't want us to put our neck under servitude to failure anymore. Amen?
Yeah.
Your governor will be one of you.
That's right.
Now, what that means is this, in case you don't understand the prophetic significance of these things, is that the Lord will bless people. That they will now be employers.
Amen.
And you'll be the ones.
Amen.
You know. Because you've got, you know the principles and the ordinances of heaven. You know how to treat people right. You know, when they come into your business and so forth. You know. And the nobles, the people that will be over you, will be people among you. Praise the Lord. And I will give the governor understanding. Cause him to approach unto me. That's right. You know, I will do it. You know, especially everyone that engages his heart to do this. And I will do it for them, said the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 22 as well. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. Now what this sentence means is, I will be proud to be called your God.
Amen.
That's another way of reading this. Because you've never thought of it that way. You know. Now, God is not proud to be called the God of the wicked. Neither is he proud to be called the God of the dead. But you know, Jesus said it one time. He said, God is not the God of the dead. You know. If God called himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, because they were thinking that there's no resurrection. He said, well, think about this. God called himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is not the God of the dead. So those people are alive. Hallelujah. Now, God is not proud to be called the God of just everybody. You know. But he's proud to be called your God. Because he made you in his image. Hallelujah. And the more we understand that, you know, the more we make God proud to be our God. Say, I will be proud to be called your God. Now, are you proud to be called his son? And his daughter? See, that's the thing. You know, praise the Lord. So, let's read. So, that's one of the things that was in the basket. You know, many of these promises were in the basket. And I was looking. Are the people going to pick them up? Well, put it in front of them as a menu. See what they want to pick up. Praise the Lord. So, this is the menu item that's coming to you today. And there are more menu items. Let's look at a few more. Here's another set of promises. In the book of Jeremiah 33. I'll read through these promises, then I'll say a few words. Jeremiah 33 and verse 10, from verses 10 to 12. I'm going to read three verses out of there. Thus saith the Lord. Now listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which you say is desolate without man and beast. I know we were talking about, Israel and so forth. But every time I read a promise in the scriptures about Israel, I also read that they are not all Israel that are Israel. And God has broken down the wall of partition and has brought in the Gentiles, that they may also be called part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, so whereas some of these scriptures literally are for Israel, well, symbolically, be for you too, because the Bible says we have come to heavenly Mount Zion. In Hebrews 12 and 26, we're now the real Zion of God. So when you read these promises, when it talks about Judah, it talks about Jerusalem, you know, yeah, you know, but are you of the stock of Judah? You know, does the Lion of Judah belong only to national Israel? No. The Lion of Judah, for all those that believe in him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When John was weeping in John, Revelation chapter 5, because nobody could open the book or read it, and he was told him that there is someone that has prevailed to open the book and to read it. When John was looking? No. Did he say, or did John think in his heart that this thing that's inside this book, which that book was the title deed for the whole earth, for the whole world, was it just Israel that he was redeeming? Of course not. Praise God. You know, so it's for you as well. In this place and in your life where things have been disorganized and disarranged, the Holy Ghost is come to put things in order. Amen. You know, God doesn't like disorder. And he doesn't like chaos. It's not a God of confusion. One time in the beginning when he was putting things together, there was darkness, there was chaos. Things were out of kilter. Things were out of order. But the Holy Ghost came and moved. We're told that the Holy Ghost moved upon the face of the deep. Now, in order for God to bring order out of chaos, the Holy Ghost must move in your life. That's the way he does it. Now, your life that may have been out of kilter, without, you know, things going on, you know, things are not going on, desolate, out of band, no beast and so forth. Well, here's what the Lord said. Even in this place that has been like that, next verse, here's what I'm going to do. You know, there is going to come out of such a situation the voice of joy. Amen. There's going to come out the voice of gladness. And the voice of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. And the voice of the bride. We're hearing some of that in our midst already. Voice of bridegroom, voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, and the voice of them that shall say, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return. You know, it's like, look, I'm going to change your story. And you know, the psalmist said in Psalm 65 and verse 1, praise is waiting for thee, O Lord, in Zion. Well, I say praise is waiting for thee, O Lord, in my life. Amen. And when the Lord knows that there is praise waiting, he's coming to get that praise. Right. And the reason he's going to come and get it, he's going to give you a reason to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's going to give you a reason to bring the sacrifice of praise.
Hallelujah.
Now, in this year, 2025, and I'm going to keep declaring it as much as I have opportunity when I come to this land, because he showed on this platform, because he showed me some things. There is coming for you.
Amen.
The voice of joy, always.
Amen.
The voice of gladness.
Hallelujah.
The voice of the bridegroom. In fact, he will turn your mourning into joy.
Amen.
He said, the Lord has called me to bring the anointing of the oil of gladness.
Amen.
To replace the spirit of heaviness with the garment of praise, to replace the spirit of heaviness and all these things and the burdens and so forth. You know, say, I will lighten their burdens.
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I say, all you whose lives are shattered and upside down and so forth, come unto me, saith the Lord. And I will pick up the pieces, put it all together. Praise God. As only he can say, I will bring back the captivity and things that are negative. I'm going to turn it back. And I'm going to change your story.
Amen.
Let's read the next verse. Now, these are some promises that were in the basket. Now, in this place, that being desolate, things nothing happening in your life. I mean, you're looking at others, things are happening, but you, nothing happening. Well, in that same place, hallelujah, there is coming gladness and joy. Things are going to start happening for you.
Yes.
But let me read some of the things that will start happening for you in Isaiah chapter 62. I want to read a few verses that the Lord gave us in that place. Now again, I saw and I looked and beheld, and these things were in the basket. And I'm looking and I said, well, maybe somebody will pick it up. Maybe not. And I'm looking, you know. Isaiah chapter 62, let's read verses 3 to 5. In these verses in Isaiah 62, and then I will jump to verse 8 later on and read that. But in these verses in Isaiah 62, what the Lord says, you are going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
And you are going to be a royal diadem in the hand of thy God.
Amen.
Then in the next verse, he says, thou shalt no more be turned forsaken. Now some people think, look, my way is seed from the Lord. Everybody else is getting blessed. Everybody else is getting married. Everybody else is having this. Everybody is having that. This is your year, amen.
Amen.
You will no longer be termed forsaken. You know, that which has been called forsaken will now be called Hephzibah. Because it's chosen. That which has been called unmarried will be called Beulah. Because you'll be married, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord is going to do these things. Let's read verse 5 and see what the Lord is bringing to you. As a young man, marry a virgin, so shall your sons marry the idiot. Marriage, and it means, I'm hearing marriage, I'm hearing wedding bells. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we already heard some wedding bells. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones you haven't heard. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
One time, Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Everybody looking around, there's no rain anywhere. But he's hearing. Hallelujah. Because the Lord took him into a dimension where he could hear it. And although, well, he still had to pray for it. But He heard it. And because he heard it in the spirit, he began to pray down. Hallelujah. Now, I've heard the weddings. I've seen many ceremonies. So. Hallelujah. I've seen all kinds of things happening. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord will rejoice over thee with joy. In the name of Jesus. Let's jump to verse 8. And I want to read this to you in verse 8 of Isaiah 62. Powerful. This was also in the basket. You can pick it if you want. The Lord has sworn by his right. The Lord doesn't need to swear by anything. He says it, it is done. He commands it and he stands fast. Doesn't even need to swear. But when he does swear, my goodness. He said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand. By the arm of his strength. It's like he flexed his muscles. I put his hand across the table. Now, let's arm wrestle now. That's what this thing means. Let's see if you can arm wrestle the Lord down. If your name is Satan. Or your name is infirmity or disease or discouragement or failure and all these things. You sit across the table from the Lord. Lord puts his arm right down. See if you can arm wrestle him down. Can you do it? You can't do it. I have sworn by my arm. And by the strength of my hand.
Hallelujah.
I will no more give your corn to be meat for your enemies. Amen.
Yes.
You know, some people say, well, you know, whatever that means. You can interpret it to yourself.
Yes,
it's in the basket I was looking. Well, how are they going to take that? Well, so put it in front of them and say, many. Let's see what they will take. I will no longer give your corn to be beat for your enemies. And I will not give your sons to drink of your own drink for the which you have labored. But those of you that have labored for it, and those of you who have gathered it, you will eat it in the course of my holiness, saith the Lord.
Can
read that in the next verse. That's right there in the next verse. You have gathered it. You will eat it. You will drink it in the courts of my holiness. I'm not going to let... You know, one time, the children of Israel were always hiding from the Midianites. What the Midianites used to do, wait for them to go to war, and then oppress them. Take it. They do all the threshing. Come and take it. So they were hiding in holes and different places. You know. And the Lord said, no more. Hallelujah. No more. What is yours is yours. In the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17, just one chapter. You know, we read the following. You know, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall take what is their own. Praise the Lord. Possess your possessions. Your possessions will no longer go to your enemies. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there is nobody, let me say this, let me just put this out there. There is no one that can disinherit you from the inheritance of the Lord. When God put you, you know, some of you, you know, the Lord brought you into this land and so forth like that. Don't worry about it. Nobody can disinherit you from the inheritance of the Lord. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I will say about that. But let me read to you a few more promises. And then I'm going to say one or two things to you also. Jesus, he was always trying to teach the disciples how to ask. But they didn't know how to ask. But that should not be our case now. Because we've been reading the Bible for years on how to ask. But when Jesus was there, he was teaching them. You know, in one place in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 11 now. Well, I'm talking now, I'm going now to fulfillment. I've talked about joy. I've talked about gladness. Talking about fulfillment now, you know. Jesus said this. He said, look, the things that I've spoken unto you, and again, this is joy too. I've spoken to you so that you might have joy. And that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. Not just small joy, but full joy. Amen.
Praise the Lord. What does that mean?
Well, in John chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus tells them this.
He said, you know, pretty much the same thing, but they didn't know how to ask back then. Hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? So that your joy might be full. God wants your joy to be full.
Amen.
He doesn't want to just give you barely enough. You know, but he wants your joy to be full. Which now leads me to increase and running over.
And I saw that in the basket as well. Increase and running over. That's a story I want to tell you. I've told this story a few times before. It's a good story. And I love these good stories.
In the book of 2 Kings chapter 13, there's a story between verses 14 and 19.
Now, this is a story of Elisha.
One of the exploits, many exploits of Elisha. This time around, it's about to die. You know, so, now, the king of Israel comes to him. At this time, they are fighting with the Syrians and so on. They're always, Israel is always fighting with somebody. You know, so, comes to him. And Elisha is going to tell him something. So he comes to them and says, my father, this is the king talking to the prophet, the old prophet. And they remember Elisha used to say things like this. Elisha, when he saw Elijah go up to heaven, he said a saying that the sons of the prophet carried all over, you know, because Elisha was saying, you know, there were sons of the prophets who were looking to see whether, you know, what's going to happen. So he said, my father, you know, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen of Elisha was the first one to say that, but they carried it. Everybody started saying. So it became a saying that was kind of associated with him, you know. Yeah. This is the man, you know, always saying that. So in this place, this king comes and he says it. Let's read the next verse. So Elisha says to him, he already knows that the man needs something, but he's, you know, dancing around the bush. So he says, look, take bow and arrows. So the man, for bows and arrows. Well, then he said, now, and listen, he's giving instructions step by step. I've talked about that many times. You gotta follow the instructions. You know, but do you have understanding about the instructions? That's the key thing. Now, he said, put your hand upon the bow. His hand's gonna be upon the bow anyway. Why are you telling him that? Instruction. And Elisha also put his hand upon the king's hand that was on the bow. So now you have two hands on the bow. So now he says to him, well, open the window, his boy. Now that's facing Syria. Open the window and shoot. And the man took bow and arrow, his hand was there and so forth. Now, Elisha put his hand on it for a reason. You know, amen? As a hand of the prophet. So for a reason, you know, and he put it on. He's going to put a blessing on that thing. But let's see what happened when he said, shoot. He shot. Well, and he said, Elisha says, well, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The king doesn't know what he's doing, but he tells him, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And this is the arrow of deliverance. This is the prophet now. A prophecy has the capacity to change your situation.
Amen.
Carries that anointing to change that situation. Now, they are under oppression by Syria. The prophetic word comes. This is Rema now. Rema comes out and says, God is going to change that situation.
Amen.
Going to give you deliverance.
Hallelujah.
The king didn't know it, but the prophet said it, you know. And so he said, well, you're going to smite the Syrians in Afek until you consume them. But let's read the next verse. So he told him, take arrows again and shoot. So the man pulled out his quiver, loaded up, and smote the ground three times. And then he stopped. Well, let's look at the reaction of the prophet. And the man of God was wroth with him. Why did you stop at three? Did I tell you to stop at three? You, when you are on a roll, don't stop.
That's right.
You could have shot this thing five times, or eight times, or whatever number of times, and you would have had that number of victories, because those are the arrows of deliverance you are sending home. But the man stopped at three. And the Lord said, well, put the menu in front of them. Let's see what they will take. You know, some of them will pass by the menu. They will look at it. Something is nice, good. Something doesn't smell good. And they just walk away. Some others will jump right in. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going to see who's going to take what today. Actually, the Lord is going to see. But I'm going to present it before you. And I am presenting already. So this man, he only shot three times and he stopped. You know, why in the world? You only got one chance at it. Because when you are under the prophetic anointing, you do as the Holy Spirit gives you inspiration. And if you do it right, my goodness. And see? He said you could have vanquished them. But now, because you stopped at three, well, God will still honor it, but you'll only have three victories over the people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why would you stop at three? Well, it's like, you know, the good ground that brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Why stop at 30 when you can get 60? Why have 30% or 30-fold when you can have 60? Why stop at 60 even if you can get 100? Why stop at 3 when you can get 8? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is a verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. I want you to put that up for me. And I've, you know, often referred to this in a roundabout kind of way by saying, well, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The way I've referred to this in a kind of roundabout kind of way is to say that, look, the sea, the Bible says the world and the seas belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the earth and so forth. The world and the seas and the people and everything, he owns everything. The sea, think of the sea as the treasuries of heaven. Just think of it. You know, water has covered the sea. It's like, when you're out in the seas, you just like see water everywhere. Well, think of your reaction to God's invitation. Because he gave some invitation. Let him that is athirst, let him come and take. You know, well, he gave some invitation. Put the menu out there. Let's see what they will do. Let's look at your reaction. Your reaction might be, take three arrows, shoot and stop. Another person might say, guess what? I still got some more arrows here in my quiver. Why am I going to stop at three? Well, it's up to you. You know, and so on and so forth. So you can take the proverbial bucket to the sea and take your fill. Or you could bring a barrel and take your fill. Or instead of a barrel, you can actually bring a tanker. An 18-wheeler on these tankers that they use to bring gasoline to places. It doesn't matter. You take all you want. The sea is still there. Hallelujah. And you can come as many times as you want. You know, a menu, you know, where you have like a buffet, it's actually a buffet. It's a menu, but it's a buffet. It's like, take what you want. It's not just a menu, but it's really a buffet. But the buffet is served with a menu, so you know what's on it. You know, but you can take what you want. You can come as many times as you want. You can bring your bucket, take as much as you want, but the ocean is still there. Praise the Lord. The ocean does not deplete just because you came with a bucket or even a barrel. You know, it's still there. And one time, this same Elisha, he told a woman, the woman came and cried to him and said, you know, my husband died, can't pay our bills. And you know the story. You know the rest of the story. I've told it many times. But what I want to bring out in that story is the increase. Which, this is a continuation of the stuff I've been saying since the beginning of this year. But in a different dimension. This increase, when the prophet gave the word, well, the only time that the oil stayed was when there was no more vessel to bring. And my question to you today is this: is your cup running over? You know, the psalmist said, "The Lord anoints my head with oil, my cup running over." Well, is your cup running over, or has the oil stayed? It's up to you. If you bring your vessels not a few, well, there's plenty more where that came from. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, when it stars, the Lord told me that some time ago, said it shall come like a flood. You've been waiting, and you've been waiting, and you've been waiting, and even praying, and you should be. As Elijah was praying for the rain, God already showed you. You should be praying. But when that rain comes, it's going to be a deluge. It's not just going to be sprinkles. You know, sprinkles we have all day long. You know. Yeah. But God is sending you a deluge. And when it starts, it shall come like a flood, said the Lord. It's going to be multiple miracles. Continuous supply.
Hallelujah.
And you'll just be, you know, going in and out of church, laughing, praising the name of the Lord, saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, saying, the mercy of the Lord and forever. Because now, this is the voice of them that are making merry. This is the voice of them that are saying, praise the Lord. This is the voice, you know, of them that know the joyful sound.
Yes.
Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. You know, because the Lord is in the midst of them and He'll be blessing them. So today, the Lord presents before you a buffet. It's a menu. Menu item. But some people don't realize that it's actually a buffet. But it's a buffet. So the Lord is upgrading it from just a menu to a buffet. And you can come and take what you want. Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full. But if you are not asking, or if you are asking the wrong way, or you don't understand some things, that's why we've been trying to teach some things, so you understand what God is doing. You know, there's a way that God positions you to understand. Understanding is so key. If you don't understand what God is saying, you have no benefit. The, you know, when the sower went out to sow, seeds that fell on the wayside, there were people who heard the word, but had no understanding. Because they had no understanding, then the devil came and catched the word out of their heart. But they had no understanding in the first place. But when you have understanding, praise the Lord. When you have understanding of what God is saying, it gives you an advantage. I want to read a scripture to you, and I'm going to pray that you will have this understanding today. The Lord will give you understanding, because when He gives you understanding, you know, then it's like, I mean, it's just like the light bulb goes on. You know, when the light bulb goes on, and all of a sudden, there's one song they sing out there in the world and so forth. It says, look, you know, I can see clearly now, or something like that. Can you see clearly now? One time I was telling, you know, I was doing a series on walking with God, and I called it, I said, well, can you smell what the Lord is cooking?
Amen.
You know, because the Lord is cooking it, but can you smell it? If you are in the house, somebody is cooking something in the house, in the kitchen. Can you smell it? Well, at first, see, maybe just the aroma that you get it. But there's something behind that. And those master chefs, what do? Take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a dash of salt, a dash of pepper, and a dash of this, a dash of that. You know, and the Lord is taking a dash of all those things,
amen,
mixing it all up,
amen,
and cooking something.
Hallelujah.
And what is He cooking? It's in Romans 8:28. He takes all those things that have been happening in your life. Takes the good, takes the not so good, takes the bad, takes the pepper, takes the salt. You know, in our culture where I come from, when you have a baby, you have to put pepper and salt and honey and all these things, signifying all these things. But in the hands of a master chef, even the thing that doesn't taste good, like this bitter leaf, bitter leaf by itself is bitter. But when you put the bitter leaf, you put the thyme, you put the curry, you put the turmeric, you put the this and you put it that, a little of this, a little of that, cook it all up. Hallelujah! Praise God. Yeah. If you want to eat the pepper by itself, it's no good. But when you put it with some other things, you mix it all up. Hallelujah. There is no... God knows how to cook. God's always, God's been cooking for a long time. He cooked meals for Elijah. And cooked the meals so some ravens to take him. Go serve it to Elijah. Hallelujah. Jesus was cooking, you know. When he came after his resurrection, and he came to the seashore, he said, they found Jesus and some meals, or a fish cooking. You know, God always knows how to cook. But in his hands, because he's the master, you know, he can take ingredients which you think are useless or painful, and all the things that you thought brought you evil in your life, those are ingredients in the hand of the master builder. The master chef. You take all these instruments, I mean all these things and so forth, the pepper, the, I don't know, what do they call you? I don't know. That thing, that thing is out of there. But when they put it together with all other stuff, woo, the Lord is cooking something. Can you smell it? Can you smell what the Lord is cooking? I can smell it. Elijah, he was hearing, so I can hear some things. I can smell some things. You know, I can hear the sound. Nobody else was hearing any sound. Nobody else was even seeing anything in the horizon. Even his servant, go check it out, said, nothing. Go check it out, nothing. Go check. But yet he said, I can hear it. I know it's coming. I know, let me pray some more. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you do. When God has promised something, you don't sit back and say, yeah, God has promised it. Yeah, ko sera sera. No. You pray the thing down. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. Bring it up for me. Luke 22, verse 44. See how Jesus prayed for the thing he already knew was going to happen. He already knew, because he said it himself. You know, said the kingdom of God is like a man that found treasure in the field. He sold all he had and he got it. He knew he was going to get that treasure. But look at how he still had to pray for it. He prayed until blood was coming out of his head like sweat. Hallelujah. Bible says you have not yet sweated, striving against sin. You have not yet shed blood, you know, and so forth. Well, don't worry about that one. But can you pray sweat of blood? Jesus did it because the price, the thing he was going for was way beyond any price. We're not talking of some few thousand dollars here. We're talking of your soul. The souls of men. So Jesus went for. But we can take a cue from him. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, the menu is served. And God has a way of serving things up for you too. The psalmist said the best in Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And God will even cause your enemies to be the suburbs.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It will be your worst enemy, your nemesis. Like a man called Haman. He was the worst enemy of Mordecai. And he had planned all kinds of things. But on the day when God would turn the tables, when God would bless Mordecai, it was Haman that pronounced all the blessings. Hallelujah. Because the king asked him, you know, and when God wants to do something, you know, he sent the angel of the Lord to take sleep away from the king. That's how God does things. Take sleep away from the king. So the king couldn't sleep. Bring me something to read. They could have brought him anything to read. They brought him the Chronicles. And the angel of the Lord directed his eyes to the place. That's what you should read. Wait a minute. What has been done for this man? Who has saved, you know, the life of the king from many coups that people were planning? He said, nothing. What do you mean nothing? So he said, okay, I'm going to do something. In that very moment, by divine appointment, God sends Haman into the court, you know, to come and ask the life of the Jews. So he says, ah, who's in the court? Say, Haman, oh, come on in, come on in. So the man thinks, well, because of course, you know, they've been inviting him to certain things. Esther has been softening him up, setting him up. So he says, the king desires to bless somebody. What do you think the king should do? This man say, you want to bless somebody? Who else but me? I'm the one. I'm the most favored person. So load it up. Bring it on. Bring your chariot. Bring your ring. Bring your this. Bring your robe. Bring your crown even. Put it upon the man. And let there be a proclamation made throughout the land that this is the man. And the king said, are you sure? He said, yes. Are you finished? He said, yes. He said, okay. Go and do that to Mordecai. Hallelujah! Woo! Yeah. Set a table before you and make your enemies. That's my own ambition. Make your enemies to serve you on the table. That's right. Not just setting him. Why? Look. They can be in their presence, but that's not enough. God will make them to serve you. They will serve you. A people that know you not shall do what? Shall serve me. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to stand to your feet. I am upon my part. You must do your part. God is setting up some things in your life. He has been taking all the good, the bad, the ugly, and the pain and everything, mixing it up in the kitchen. Oh, yes, because something is coming. Yeah. And he's going to, and when he's ready, he will say, behold, all things are now ready. Now, let's not be like the people that God invited to a meal and said, I'm not coming. I've married a wife. I've bought some oxen. I've bought a land. They gave all kinds of excuses. Well, Lord said, what? Put the menu, the buffet menu before them, and let's see what they will take. So, ladies and gentlemen, the menu is before you today. What are you going to take? Take your pick. You can take the joy. You can take the gladness. You can take the increase. I already spoke about increase the last few weeks. That's why I didn't go too much into this. Or you can take fulfillment. Can take all of it. Or take one or two. Or you can take them all. Now what's it going to be? Well, let's raise our hands before the Lord here. Raise your hands. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to call a prayer line today. Just raise your hands and let's pray. Let's believe the Lord. Now never mind the person that's behind you. There's one person here today. I'm going to tell you this. There's only one person here today that is going to touch the hem of his garment. But is that going to be you? Now, if there was one person here, let me see if somebody has some faith here. If there was one person that would touch the hem of his garment today, who's it going to be? I can't hear you. There was one, look, the woman, Jesus said, who touched me? He said, are you kidding? All these people jostling, rubbing, saying, no. I'm talking about a touch. Hallelujah. Touch. Faith is what touches God. It's not your prayer. It's not even your emotions. It's not even all of that. It's your faith. That's what touches God. And because of your faith today, the Holy Ghost is rearranging things in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why sometimes a preacher will call the prayer line or this and that. I'm not doing that today though, but that's why we do it sometimes. It's because by the time you get out from the aisle, your seat and walk down the aisle, your faith is energized. By the time you come down here, but I'm not doing that today. I'm going to have you. You know, one man said, speak the word only. You don't even have to come to my house. You don't have to come down here. I've spoken the word already. Now let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now you say amen to the Lord and take whatever you want in your own prayer. Call upon the Lord. Take anything that's served before you today. Take the joy. Take the blessing. Take the fulfillment. Take the increase. Take everything that you want today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And don't stop when you are on a roll. When you are on a roll, don't stop. Hallelujah. Why stop at one when you can get three? Why stop at three when you can get eight? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love the Lord here this morning? I can't hear you. Do you love him? Yes. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Your people have said they love you here this morning. I know you love us even more. Now, let your word that has been spoken by your words and your mouth this morning through my voice, let it be verified in the lives of your people by your hand as it is this day, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When you have understanding, of these things, Jesus used to ask them, he said, do you now have understanding of these things? We do, but no, we don't. I'm going to read this one scripture to you as we pray. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. This is a scripture I was going to read and I forgot and I moved on. The Holy Spirit said, go read it. So this is it. This is what understanding does for you. It gives you an advantage. And you need that advantage in the days that we're in now.
Amen, amen.
The children and the sons of Issachar, they were people that had understanding of the times. And they knew what Israel ought to do. Now, do you know what you ought to do? The Lord will give you inspiration. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Inspiration of the Almighty.
Amen.
And because of their understanding, they were promoted. And all their brethren were behind them. You see? Their brethren were at their commandment.
Amen.
They got an advantage because of understanding.
Amen.
May the Lord give you understanding in all things.
Amen.
Understand the will of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Understand what the Lord is saying to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to give a prayer of thanksgiving before I turn it over to the praise team. If you have understood these things, then present whatever you have taken from the buffet, put it in the hands of the Lord. We did that prayer last time. The Lord will bless it and put it right back in your hands. And then you go run with it. But I want you to thank him for it this morning. Come on now, everybody. Let's thank the Lord. Raise your hands and thank the Lord for what he has allowed you to visualize today. And you can enjoy this beautiful menu. You can enjoy this buffet. You can take anything you want. You can take them all. You take one if you want. That's the capacity of your mind. But if you have capacity, you can take them all. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And the church says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together. Amen.